This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Thanks for making us a part of your night. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2026. Hope you're undefeated in betting. I am not, unfortunately. But hey, there's a new week to get things going here when it comes to the NFL. We've got plenty of college football along the way. College hoops is heating up. The NBA as well. We'll dissect all of that coming up now with our next guest. He is Arthur DeCesar, Westgate Superbook Risk Manager at ArtDice21 on X. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Art, man, happy New Year, man. I appreciate you doing this as always. Talk to me about the college football. First, let's go back with the Cotton Bowl. Miami taking down Ohio State. We saw most of the market have a big influx of Miami money very late coming in, pushing that down from 9.5 all the way to 7.5. I imagine you guys were in the same boat. A lot of late Miami coming in.
A lot of late Miami money came in on that game. Obviously, a lot of under money had come in from the opening number. I believe that moved about 2.5 points for us. And obviously, I think we were as high as 10.5 at one point on Miami very early in the process. So, yeah, a ton of Miami money. Obviously, you knock out a lot of Ohio State, you know, teasers and money line parlays. The only thing that hurts us is Ohio State was like our best decision in the future book. So it really hurts to lose Ohio State there.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's really, people were not betting Ohio State. I just assume when I saw them at such a short number all year long, that was because you guys had liability on them. So people were not just trying to assume Ohio State would go back to back.
They were not. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. When you have a pool that you're running basically from the end of the national championship the prior year all the way through, you're going to get bets on the big boy teams. But, you know, the teams like Notre Dame and, you know, some of the more name brand teams had more liability because Ohio State's number was so low all year. No one really found any value there.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. And today's college football, everyone was looking for value because there was longer odds, so many teams in the playoff. That makes all the sense in the world. Arthur DeCesar is our guest, Westgate Superbook Risk Manager at ArtDice21 on X. How about the Sugar Bowl? I didn't hear anyone making a case for Ole Miss. I had them in the first half. I thought there was a world where they were competitive and had a chance to pull off the upset, but I didn't like them enough to bet them on the full game, Art. Did you guys just see nothing but laying 6 and a hook with Georgia?
You know what? Here's the best thing. Out of the three games today, Ole Miss was our best result.
Ooh.
You know, we took a really sharp account that took Ole Miss at 6.5. And we were at 5.5 a lot of the day, kind of enticing a little bit of Georgia money, really wanting to book to the Ole Miss side, which obviously worked out for us. Doesn't always, but, you know, when you have accounts and, you know, information that you respect, you always want to book to those numbers. So out of the three games, Ole Miss, the best result for us. I would say Oregon was clearly the second best result, and Indiana was not a good result. So I would say two out of the three games today went our way.
Yeah, the Sharps, they love Indiana this year, and it's justified. I mean, they're spectacular.
Yeah.
They're proving me wrong. I bet them over their win total, Art, and then I'd bet against them in all these big games as if they're not an elite team. No. This is one of the greatest runs we've ever seen from anyone. I don't know if whoever's left can knock them off, including Oregon, who they'll see again for the second time in the Peach Bowl. Hoosiers open -4, total 47.5. Your first glance at that line, what'd you think of it?
Dustin, I'm with you. And I'm from a school like you are where we're around the same age. I grew up to believe Indiana is going to be bad at football. And despite them being really good and being the best team in the country, I still have it in my head like they're going to lay 7.5 to Alabama. That makes no sense. I'm with you. They're clearly the best team in the country. I think we're going to continue to get Indiana money. I think that will happen here with the opener of 4. And I think Indiana is the darling. I mean, anything can happen, but I now am a believer that Indiana is going to go win the national championship.
Yeah, I'm very close to pulling the trigger and laying that 4. I think it's going to be very hard for Oregon to score, and I just trust Indiana's offense to get it done. And then what'd you guys see when you dropped the number on Miami and Ole Miss there? Because I saw it at DraftKings. They had it 2.5 and immediately got hit up to 3. Did you guys see any action there?
Yeah, we just opened three. We felt comfortable with three and a total of 52. Obviously, that number has not been out as long as the Indiana number. You know, it's funny. These numbers over the next week or so will get massaged and kind of put into a position where we feel comfortable booking to a certain side. Too early to tell where we are on that yet, because obviously, you know, people are now going to focus their attention on the NFL and kind of leave these, you know, playoff games behind.
All right, well, real quick, we'll hit the rest of college football, because I don't know if people realize this, but I know the semifinals just happened, but we have bowl game action coming up here tomorrow. We'll begin with the Liberty Bowl. Navy laying 7.5, totals 54.5. What kind of action are you seeing there?
Yeah, I mean, early on in the process, and you got to remember with these bowls, these numbers go wacky. I mean, they were laying 2.5 and 3 with Navy. Cincinnati quarterback's out. We were 7 earlier today. We're now 7.5. We'll need Cincinnati pretty big in the game. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It's really hard to book these bowl games that are not playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, you just flip a coin. Just tell yourself, yep, heads it's over, tails it's under, heads it's the favorite, tails it's the dog. You're probably doing as well as anyone right now with these results. Yep. They don't really make sense. The Duke's Mayo Bowl, Mississippi State's laying 3, totals 52.5. Anything crazy happening there?
A little bit of Mississippi State money, which has us at 3 now. The real big move here is from our opener of 56.5, now 53. So you've seen a 3.5-point move to the under.
And then finally, one last bowl game coming up, the Holiday Bowl. Arizona laying 1.5, totals 51.5. That's actually moved around during my show. At one point, it was SMU minus 1.5. I think it's now Arizona minus 1.5. Anything jumping out in that matchup?
We are pick on the game, and we took pretty respected money on SMU at +3 and +2. We'll be big Arizona fans tomorrow on that game.
Arthur DeCesar is our guest, Westgate Superbook risk manager at ArtDice21 on X. Let's go to the NFL. A lot's on the line this week, my friend. And Saturday, it'll be two bangers. Beginning with the NFC South, Carolina taking on Tampa. Bucks laying 3, total 43.5. What kind of action are you guys seeing over at the Westgate on this?
The early money was on Carolina at 3. We had dipped to 2.5 on Tampa. But minus 116, you know, obviously we're dealing on a minus 108 line. So we were, you know, trending back towards a 3. A really respected account came in and laid the 2.5 with Tampa. So we're now back to 3 on Tampa. And then really good under money as well, 44 now to 43. I think that's the theme of these quote-unquote playoff games. Nothing but sharps on the unders in these games.
Yeah, that is tracking, my friend. That is tracking. The defenses have shown up for the most part here. All right, and then what about also on Saturday, the one seed on the line, the NFC West on the line. Seattle have been road warriors every step of the way under Mike McDonald. Laying 1.5, totals 47.5. How's it looking there?
Well, obviously, once again, under money, 49.5 on our opener, wow. Now 47.5. We had opened the game pick when you kind of could see one on either side. We said, let's open pick. Let's see where, you know, our customers and our respected guys kind of dictate and move this game. They came in on Seattle, so now we are Seattle -1.5 on the game.
And then Sunday Night Football. I'm very curious what kind of action you're seeing. I'm on the under. I think I bet under 41.5. Ravens and the Steelers. Baltimore's laying 3.5, but if I'm betting this one, and I can't believe I'm saying it because I don't know how they actually score the ball, but I would lean taking the 3.5 with Pittsburgh. What are you seeing in Ravens Steelers with the AFC North on the line?
Yeah, early on in the process, sharps laid 3 with Baltimore. We are 3.5 on the game. And once again, the under money. We opened 42, now 40.5. I'm in such a weird position. We had talked all year about how, hey, the Ravens present all this value. I feel like they're better with Huntley at quarterback. Obviously, Lamar's going to play. No Metcalf for the Steelers. It's such an odd game. I'm with you, though. I feel like push comes to shove. It's a 3-point game. Give me 3 in the hook. But, you know, I could also see the Steelers getting blown out in the game. It's just one of those type of games.
Yeah, with so many really big spreads and not knowing how these games are going to go with a lot of teams resting starters. I'm just curious, has there been an influx when it comes to teaser betting in week 18 in the NFL for you guys over at the Westgate?
Well, there absolutely has. But, you know, this is the best way you got to put it. Week 18 is such a unique thing where we really only have 3, 4, maybe 5 games at the most that we're able to offer full limits on the game. Most of our games up until Saturday or even Sunday morning are going to get moved to full limits. We have to almost treat a lot of these games like preseason games. And I've seen games move a touchdown, totals move 5-6 points. You can't put up props yet. So, yeah, you know you're going to get a hit on teasers. You know you're going to get hit on a lot of these money line parlays. You really have to do everything in your position as a bookmaker to protect yourself from a lot of the liability and a lot of just kind of, you know, I don't know, the craziness in the market on these Week 18 games.
Yeah, it's so up in the air. I mean, if you have a good feel for something, congratulations. Just fire on it then. He's Arthur DeCesar. Go check him out over at the Westgate Superbook on X at ArtDice21. My man, I always appreciate you doing this. I hope you have a great new year, and we will chat again in the next week or so.
Dustin, it's always a pleasure, man. Let's have a big 2026, my friend, and we will chat soon.
Awesome stuff from our guy, Arthur DeCesar. I mean, go see him. Go see him at the Westgate. Go meet these people. Tell him you heard him on the show. Tell him you like what he had to say. I think what he brings us every single week here is some of the best information you're going to find. We know exactly how things are being bet, what they're looking at. If they get hit by someone major, like, he is very open with what's going on over there at the Westgate. Hey, by the way, if you check out the Boomer Sportsbook yet? Well, you need to, because they have a first deposit match up to $250 in bonus bets. All you have to do, use this promo code, VSIN250, V-S-I-N-250. They're offering great prices on all of their lines right now through the NFL postseason. Check out Boomer Sportsbook right now, betwithboomer.com, and you can get, using that promo code, VSIN250, up to $250 in bonus bets right now. All right, we've got more when it comes to the National Football League. You will hear from a quarterback who is not going to make the postseason, and he'll tell you why they're going to give it their best despite nothing on the line for them in Week 18.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us a part of your night. However, you may be tuning in SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSIN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. A lot going on in the world of sports. The college football playoff quarterfinals have come and gone. We have lines for the semifinals that include the Miami Hurricanes laying a field goal against the Ole Miss Rebels. I thought it'd be like 1.5, 2. I'm a bit shocked by 3. It feels like an overreaction. And I'm a Miami fan, and I have Miami to win the title, and I want Miami to do so. I don't want to sound like I'm just sandbagging over and over again about the team that I bet on, the team that I root for, but I thought that was a little lofty. I thought we're looking at closer to a 1.5, 2 tops, but I wouldn't have been shocked if it was just a pick 'em or a 1-point spread, like legitimately. Miami against a team like Ole Miss, but right now it's 3, totals 51.5. And then Oregon and Indiana. Indiana's laying 4, 47.5. I am strongly considering laying that 4 with the Hoosiers because I have been wrong fading them in a lot of big situations. They're making me look really stupid. But now am I being too reactionary and laying the points with them in a spot where Oregon's looking for revenge? So more on that throughout the week here on VSIN. But in the meantime, we've got Week 18 in the NFL. It is right upon us as Saturday will get going with 2 games, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Seattle, and San Francisco. And I was looking, you know, because there may be some opportunities to find some value on some plays. And I thought the anytime touchdown market could be interesting this weekend because there are so many guys that are going to be out there getting a run, getting opportunities that throughout the season really haven't had them. Now, the market's adjusted pretty well on them, but I did place a few anytime touchdown bets earlier today. So I want to run through some of the matchups that make sense. So here are the teams this week that allow the most touchdowns, anytime touchdowns, to opposing quarterbacks. The Cowboys are number 1. 8 allowed this year. That means rushing touchdowns for quarterbacks. I guess it could mean receiving as well, but you know what I mean. Buccaneers, Raiders, Chiefs, and Eagles are at six. Last I looked, there were no odds for props when it came to the Giants matchup with the Cowboys. I think they're waiting on some injury stuff. Let me see if anything's up, because if there is a price on Jackson Dart anytime touchdown, Jackson Dart to score two touchdowns, I would strongly consider that in that game, because in the Giants' mindset, they're probably thinking they can get him the Offensive Rookie of the Year. I don't know if it happens. I hope it happens. I bet him this week at 25-1, but I don't think that's crazy. My favorite play, though, for a quarterback this week is we're going to go to Kansas City and the Raiders, where the Raiders have allowed the second most touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks. They've allowed six on the year. Give me Chris Olatokun, who's filling in for Mahomes, mobile quarterback. They get in the red zone. I think he'll call his own number. He was plus 320. So let's have a little bit of fun this week. Let's throw that out there. Plus 320 on Olatokun to score a touchdown for the Chiefs. All right. Now, here's the running back matchups that I think make sense for us to look at. One, the Jets allowed the most anytime touchdowns to opposing running backs at 25. The Cardinals were second at 22. Then you have the Bills and Bengals at 20, the Panthers, Titans, Cowboys at 18, and the Raiders at 17. So if there's a number posted for Ray Davis for Buffalo against the Jets, that's something I'd look at a little bit later. I don't know if I'd go with anyone with the Rams against the Cardinals. Maybe Ronnie Rivers, because Corum is banged up. But I don't know where they look in that direction at running back. With Cincinnati taking on Cleveland, there's a couple of guys that make sense. One, Cincinnati struggles to defend running backs who catch the ball out of the backfield. So Dylan Sampson, who's in there on third down as a receiving back, he could score. But Rocket Raheem Sanders, I'm going to go with him. I got a nice price on him earlier today to score a touchdown. Let me see what it was exactly. It was, if this thing will open, Rocket Sanders to score a touchdown. Oh, come on. Where are you? Come on. Plus 235. You know, there's no Quinshon Judkins for Cleveland in this matchup. And Rocket Sanders, Arkansas, South Carolina, like he can run. He is a thick runner. He's an aggressive runner. And I think if they somehow get down to the red zone, which they should against Cincinnati's bad defense, I think they'll be conservative. They'll run the rock. And Sanders is a guy who can break a couple tackles. Now, Carolina on this is interested. Carolina has allowed 18 rushing touchdowns. But which running back do you choose with Tampa Bay? You can get a plus 165 on Bucky Irving. But you know what I said? I'm going to be a little riskier. I think Sean Tucker at plus 220. A situation where Bucky Irving gets him down to the red zone, then they go to Sean Tucker at plus 220. I like him there. Now, here's some wide receiver spots that I think are interesting. I have not pulled the trigger on any receivers, though. Dallas allows the most. I think Darius Slayton could be his final game as a Giant. They may force him the football to score a touchdown. That's the first one that jumps out to me. You have the Lions listed there second, so maybe Luther Burden, who's dealing with an injury, but he looks like he's going to play. I think he could score against a bad Lions secondary. On the other side, the Bears allowed 20 touchdowns to receivers, same number as Detroit. How about Isaac Tesla, who's clearly a go-to target of Jared Goff in the end zone? And speaking of Jared Goff, let's hear from him, because right now, I don't think a lot of people anticipate Detroit giving it their best effort. I don't understand why that's the thought process. Chicago went from 2.5 up to -3 in this game at Soldier Field, totals 50.5. And Jared Goff says, hey, guys, we're playing this one for the win.
That's what I'm paid to do. I'm the quarterback of this team, and yeah, paid to play on Sundays and do my job and do to the best of my ability. Doesn't matter what our record is, what the situation may be. That's my job. And it's about, you know, I think Dan talked to us about this earlier. It's about respect. Like, you know, not only respect for, you know, yourself within your own team, but respect around the league. Like, you know, we want to go out there and put something good on tape that gain a little bit of respect back from probably some of the loss of respect we've earned this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And also it carries into next year. And it's also about respecting the rest of the league. To just lay down and die and let Chicago have a better seed than someone because you didn't give it your best effort, I mean, that'll come back karma-wise to get you at some point. Maybe not next year, maybe not the year after, but at some point it'll come back to bite you in the rear. So I like hearing that from Jared Goff. And I kind of like Detroit catching the three or the over in that game, maybe both, in that matchup at Soldier Field. All right, here are the tight end matchups in terms of anytime touchdowns where I fired on one of these and I might add a couple. I like tight ends way more than receivers when it comes to player props, whether that's touchdowns, whether that's receiving yardage or receptions. I just find the matchups for tight ends to make a lot of sense. And to no one's shock, the Bengals are the worst against tight ends in terms of anytime touchdowns. They've allowed 16 this year in 17 games. They're the worst historically defending tight ends in terms of catching the football, so this makes sense. And We don't know who's going to play tight end for Cleveland in this matchup against the Bengals. If Harold Fannin Jr. plays, you got to bet him on principle just because of the matchup. Now, Washington has Philly coming to town. I laid the four with Philly. I kind of think that there's a few guys that make sense to score for Philly going up against a really bad Commanders defense. And Grant Calcaterra, who could fill in for Dallas Goedert if they don't have Goedert playing this game, could be the guy that finds the end zone. So once a number's posted on him, Calcaterra is a guy that I like a lot in a spot duty against Washington. Philly's laying 4.5, total's 38.5. The offense hasn't looked great. I mean, we all know that watching Philly. Maybe they can turn it on. Kevin Petullo met with the media, their offensive coordinator, and talked about how inefficient they were last week against Buffalo.
When you look at it, is the amount of drives we had and plays and some of the starting positions, you know, it was the first down thing again. We had four drives where we had inefficient first downs, put us in 4 second and longs. And then from that, we were in 3 third and longs. And, you know, when you're doing that, when that's happening, it's going to be very hard to move the ball. And that's the unfortunate part of it. You know, we had the one backed up drive from a minus one. We have to get it out. We ran again on second down. We didn't get much. And then third down, you know, had some pressure and that was a punt. And so when you look at those drives, you know, it gets frustrating. Because we need one play. All we need is one spark, one thing to get those things going, and we're out of it.
Yeah, but it's not happening over and over again. To say, like, we're not having that one play, that one spark, is asinine because it's happening every week. At some point, you got to go, hold on, the philosophy's not working. We have to change our plan. We have to change our approach. But another tight end that I do like this week is Tommy Tremble. Tampa Bay allowed 11 touchdowns so far this year to opposing tight ends. You can get 5-1 on Carolina's Tommy Tremble. Jatavion Sanders is out for the season. Carolina's catching 3 on the road at Tampa. Total's 43.5. I think Bryce Young's going to have to throw the ball to Tommy Tremble a little bit more than usual. It could be a spot where he finds the end zone. I also think A.J. Barner, plus 170. I bet him to score for Seattle against San Francisco. Niners allowed 10 touchdowns to opposing tight ends. I really like him. And maybe there's a long shot play for Jackson Hawes, depending on when that number pops out for Buffalo going up against the Jets. The Jets allowed 9 touchdowns to opposing tight ends this season. It's cashing out VSiN, the sports betting network. And look, if you've got a business, you want to advertise, you got to do it with Mission Media. They will deliver your business to an audience that engages, that will support. They've touches in live television, top-ranked podcasts, daily newsletters, website traffic, more than 400 radio affiliates nationwide. If you want to advertise on VSiN, by the way, with Mission Media, all you have to do is check us out, VSiN.com/advertise, or email us at advertising@VSiN.com. It's cashing out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Still to come, our VSiN Morning Bet segment, where I've got a few college basketball plays that I really like. Also, we'll go through all of the NFL plays that we like for Week 18, including some ugly dogs. You're going to have to hold your nose and take them, but I like ugly dogs here in Week 18. And coming up next, we're going to talk to one of the sharpest people out there. It's Big Al McMorty. We'll get his best plays for the NFL and college hoops coming up next on Cashing Out.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here, you there. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. It's been a wild day in sports. College football playoff, the semifinals are set. We'll talk about that coming up in about 15 minutes in our VSiN Morning Bet segment. But right now, want to hit Week 18 hard in the NFL, also maybe a little college hoops, with our next guest. He is Big Al McMorty, pro handicapper. BigAl.com is the website, at BigAl_com on X. And Al joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Happy New Year, my friend. I appreciate you doing this, as always, staying up late. And Week 18 can be tricky, but the one positive we have is there are a few games that we know these teams are actually going for it and they care about winning it. And we'll begin with Saturday. Really good doubleheader, Carolina and Tampa Bay. Bucks laying 3, totals 43.5. The NFC South is on the line. When you crunch the numbers, what jumped out to you here?
Well, the obvious thing jumps out to me, Dustin, and that's the fact that the Buccaneers have now lost their last eight games versus the point spread, and they're also 1-7 straight up over those eight games. Now, a couple weeks ago, they went into Carolina. They were favored by three. I actually had a play on Carolina in that game as a home dog, and Carolina got that win 23-20. This is a really good situational spot for me as a technical handicapper for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When you take a look at how teams do off eight or more point spread losses in a row, they've gone 12-1-1 ATS when they're not getting six or more points. So that's the situation here. I also like the fact that they're off back-to-back losses as a road favorite. They also lost as a road favorite to Miami last week. So I think Tampa Bay's in a really good spot. This is, you know, you take a look. They were favored by 3 points at Carolina. Now, 2 weeks later, they're favored by 2.5 or 3 at home. I'm going to lay it.
Yeah, I get it. I don't trust Carolina on the road. Like, that's one thing for me. Them at home, catching points as a dog. I love it. Them on the road, I'm always on the wrong side of them on the road. All right, the late game in Saturday's doubleheader, Seattle laying 1.5, totals 47.5. I don't know if we've seen a coach quite as dominant as Mike McDonald on the road, at least to start a career as a head coach, but they are laying points. They are favorites against San Francisco. What are you seeing in this matchup?
Well, for me, the obvious play is the under. The over-under line sitting at either 47.5 or 48. And I think this game obviously is going to have a feel of a playoff game. I really can't wait to watch it. And when you take a look at how NFC West division matchups, when they're competitively priced with a point spread of 3 or less, those games have gone 54 and 25 under the total. Like I said, this is basically going to be like a playoff game, and I'm going to take the under the 48.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense, because it is. It is a playoff game. There's so much on the line with the one seed, the division, all of that for these guys. And for San Francisco, getting that extra rest would be massive with the way they're injured. Al McMorty is our guest, pro handicapper. BigAl.com is the website to check out all of his information, at BigAl_com on X. Jacksonville's laying a big number, 13.5 against Tennessee. Now, they still have a world of possibilities here. They have to win the South. They still have an outside shot at the one seed as well. Would you think about laying the big number of almost 2 touchdowns, or would you take it with Tennessee on the other side?
I actually gave this to my clients overnight last Sunday night, early Monday morning, when the line was a lot lower. So we got in at a good number. I still like it at this price, though. There's a really good end-of-season system that's on the Jaguars. And what we want to do is play on any home favorite of more than 7 points in the final 2 weeks of the season. If our home team's win percentage is greater than 600 and the opponent is not off a straight up an ATS win, that angle's gone 78 and 37 ATS going back to 1980. So I like Jacksonville here. And the other interesting thing about this game is that the Jaguars have the widest range of playoff seed outcomes depending on the results of these games. They can finish as high as number 1 or as low as number 7. So they're going to, you know, they're going to get their, give it their best effort. It's also interesting that, you know, they're playing at 1 o'clock and the other two teams, you know, fighting for the number 1 seed are playing at 4:25. So you're going to get a great effort out of Jacksonville. That's all you can ask for, and I'm going to lay the points.
Yeah, it's a good call. The timing definitely matters with the motivation for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then the Raiders in Kansas City. Seeing this number move around a bit, where I'm looking at Kansas City laying 5.5, total of 36.5. Anything jump out in that matchup?
Well, the number hasn't really moved all that much. It opened, I saw it 6, yeah, down to 5.5, right?
Yep.
Kansas City's not been good. You know, for a team as good as Kansas City, take a look at how they've done as a favorite of more than a field goal. When they're laying 3.5 points or more, they're 24-44-1 ATS their last 69. So that doesn't bode well for it on Sunday, even against a team as bad as Las Vegas. And also, one of the things I generally won't do is take a road favorite toward the end of the season if it has a losing record. And if it's the final 2 weeks of the season and a road favorite with a losing record is not off a straight up ATS win, then our road favorites are 11-28 ATS since 1990. I know Las Vegas has lost, what, 10 in a row now. I don't care. I'm grabbing the points with them in their final home game of the season.
Chatting with Big Al McMorty, pro handicapper at BigAl_com, BigAl.com, the website to find all of his picks, all of the write-ups. Our buddy Harry Gagnon's over there. Kyle Hunter, who's been on VSiN a bunch, over there as well. A great team over at BigAl.com. I'm just curious, not from a futures perspective, but maybe projecting for the playoff field. When you see the way the Rams have finished this season with some of the losses, the loss to Atlanta, then they have the loss to Carolina a few weeks ago. It's just been a weird finish for the Rams, a team that I think a lot of people as of maybe a month, 2 months ago, viewed them as maybe the most complete team in the National Football League. Do you downgrade them a lot going into the postseason, or are you not as concerned about them?
No, I mean, I guess it's a double-edged sword, right? They're not going to get the bye, so they have to win an extra game, which either San Francisco and Seattle won't. But I do think they're the best team. So do you want to have to win four games with the best team, or do you want to have to win three games with a team that might not be the best team?
Yeah.
And obviously they're going to have to go on the road for, you know, at least, you know, some of the games. So I still, you know, if my life depends on it, I'm still looking at the Rams coming out of the NFC. And I never really mind a team losing toward the end of the year. I think it resets them rather than a team, you know, going into it, you know, on an 11 game or 12 game win streak or something crazy like that. I'd rather have my team taste a loss going into the playoffs.
No, I'm totally with you. I've got a 14-1, I think, or 16-1, something on Houston to win the AFC. And I hate the fact that they haven't gotten a loss out of their system and they're on this run. I want them to get one out of the way. That way they can reset and start over, kind of like you just said. So I'm totally with you. And I love the Rams. Kind of some irony that they could potentially have a matchup with Carolina if they advance, or Philly.
Great game earlier in the year.
Yeah, which would be two big revenge spots for them. So I'd love the Rams in both of those situations. Let's go over to college basketball. Big game coming up on Friday in the Big Ten. Nebraska laying 1.5 at home to Michigan State. Total is 143.5. Hoiberg and Izzo. Did anything make sense to you when you looked at this matchup?
Yeah, you know, this is an aside. Would you believe this is only the third matchup in the last 36 college basketball seasons where two teams with a 13-0 or better record have met?
Whoa, that's kind of crazy.
For being crazy.
That's crazy. That shows the parity, but I wouldn't have assumed that.
Of all the tens and tens of thousands of games, only the third time that we've had two 13-0 teams meet up with each other. I was shocked.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I like Nebraska, you know, mainly because of the price. They're laying 1.5 and it's as high as 2 over at Circa and all. But when you take a look at home teams with a 7-0 or better record, they're 40-22 ATS if they were not favored by 4 or more points. And they also owned a winning point spread record. And Nebraska is currently 7-6 ATS. So they're just barely, you know, above 500, you know, against the spread. I'm going to lay the points with Nebraska.
I love it. I laid the 2 with Nebraska earlier. There's a 1.5 out there now, so you can get a much better number than I got. But I'm with you. I like the Huskers in that situation. He is Big Al McMorty. Check out his website, BigAl.com, at BigAl_com. I appreciate you doing this. As always, my friend, we'll chat again soon.
Thanks a lot, Dustin.
Great stuff from Big Al McMorty. The information is just next level. Absolutely next level. I love chatting with him every time he joins us here on the show. Reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening, whether it's podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. They've got it covered. Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for us here at VSiN, and you'll get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. These are fans who respond, engage, and convert. If you want your message in front of people who actually take action, Mission Media makes it happen. Visit vsin.com/advertise or email us at advertising@vsin.com. Well, cat's out of the bag, gave away one of the picks for the next segment. We are on Nebraska against Sparty. I'll share the trends and why I like that. But there's a few other college basketball games that I like on Friday slate, plus all of the bets we have for the National Football League coming up in Week 18. And oh, so much more, including NBA props, Chicago and Orlando. I already have 3 player props I love in that game, and I'll share them with you coming up on the other side. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Morning Bets coming your way next.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN. the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us part of your night, however you may be tuning in. The college football playoff semifinals are set. We've got Miami laying a field goal, 3 against Ole Miss, and then Oregon and Indiana with the Hoosiers as 4-point favorites in that matchup. We'll have more on that all throughout the next week as those games will be played next week, Thursday and Friday, with the finals on the line and a trip to go to the national championship game. Can you believe that? Either Pete Golding or Mario Cristobal will be coaching in the national championship. Just some perspective on that. Mario Cristobal, as of about, I don't know, 6-8 weeks ago, Miami was not in the playoff field. Pete Golding was not a head coach. Just think about it from that perspective. On the other side, Indiana is going to a national championship potentially if they take down Oregon for the second time this season. Wild things to be saying in the year of our Lord 2026. By the way, ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you're going to find on the College Football National Championship, plus Super Bowl odds as well. With a huge slate coming up throughout the next week, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSIN to get started right now over at ProfitX. Cashing Out VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Let's look at our VSIN morning bet segment. Want to begin with college football because there are a few bowl games coming up, and that would be the Armed Forces Bowl, getting things going at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Texas State's laying 16 and a hook. Total is 55 and a half. I can't believe Rice is in a bowl game. Rice is not a good football team. They are not a good program. Texas State has a pretty good offense. I would lay the 16 and a half with Texas State, but I'm not touching that game. Navy laying 7.5, taking on Cincinnati. You know, these schools, the academies, they take the bowl game seriously. They don't mess around. They don't have the opt-outs that a lot of these other programs do. But I wouldn't lay 7.5. Instead, I think they're going to control the pace against a Cincinnati team that has a good defense. And we're going to go under 54.5 in that one. And Duke's Mayo Bowl coming up as well. Wake Forest and Mississippi State. Bulldogs laying 3. Totals 52.5. I like the under. I just don't think Wake Forest is a team that is conditioned to go up and down the field. And while Mississippi State has some nice offensive pieces this year, I think under is the way I'd look in 52.5. I think both defenses show out in a lower scoring bowl game, which is always a dangerous proposition. And then finally, the Holiday Bowl. Arizona laying 1.5, totals 51.5. Ooh, I have lost a lot of money fading SMU this year, but I think Arizona's the right side, but I'm going to stay away from that game altogether. That's where we stand when it comes to the college football. How about the NBA card coming up for Friday? The Spurs and Pacers. San Antonio laying 5.5, totals 236.5. Wembanyama has already been ruled out with a knee injury. He missed anything major, so he should be back at some point, but he's not going to play. With him out of the lineup and a matchup against Indiana, where I don't love the way they defend guards, I think Stephon Castle has a big day. Let's go over 31.5. Points, rebounds, and assists combined for Stephon Castle for San Antonio because Wemby is out of the lineup there. Magic and the Bulls. The thing I love about this matchup is that there's injuries and implications that trickle down to the rest of the lineup. So Orlando's laying 4.5. Your total's 235.5 with Chicago hosting. And Josh Giddey's out a couple weeks. Well, Josh Giddey is ball dominant. He controls this offense for Chicago right now. He's having a fantastic season. With him out, there's two guys that traditionally benefit. Trey Jones and Ayo Dosunmu. Trey Jones had a better game last time with Giddey out. Dosunmu did not. But I think there's always a chance for both to go off. And if one doesn't, the other one will. So at worst, we're splitting this thing here. So I'm going Trey Jones over 24.5 PRA. His assist numbers go through the roof without Giddey on the floor. And Dosunmu becomes much more of a scorer for Chicago without having Giddey in the lineup. I like both of them. Dosunmu's numbers over 21.5 PRA. And then the other side. If you haven't been betting on Anthony Black for Orlando, I don't know what you're doing. He has a good matchup against Chicago. Not great defending, shooting guard, scoring the ball. And I like him a lot here to go over 25.5 PRA. Anthony Black is having a great run. At some point, it'll come to an end. At some point, the books will adjust. But right now, 25.5, no Franz Wagner, some other pieces out of the lineup. I do think that means a lot more for Anthony Black there. And that is it from official plays. We'll have more up at VSiN.com/picks, but I'm waiting for some guys and some more information and props to be posted on them. We're going to target Dylan Brooks and Colin Gillespie again for Phoenix, especially if Grayson Allen is ruled out there. I think Tumani Kamara for the Trailblazers make a lot of sense. Jeremy Grant is not going to play against the Pelicans. Right now, Portland's a 1.5-point road favorite in New Orleans. Total's 243.5. Kamara's a guy from a point perspective I think I'd like, with Grant out, with the way New Orleans struggles defending opposing small forwards. So that's where we stand with the NBA. Now, how about college basketball, which offers a really solid card coming up for Friday? We'll start things off with that Nebraska matchup with Michigan State. Right now, it's 1.5 at DraftKings. Nebraska's laying it. Total is 143.5. I laid 2 with Nebraska, so obviously I like the 1.5 here. I was pretty shocked to see this. Tom Izzo just 57-64 against the spread as a road dog, 35-49 against the spread as a road dog of 6 or less. He is 44-35 to the under in that role. I think the under would make some sense. Fred Hoiberg on the other side, he is 12-4 against the spread as a home favorite of 6 or less. You've got a Nebraska team that defends the 3 really well, 40th in the nation, 39th defending the 2. Michigan State's better at shooting the 3 than they were last year. They're 60th in the country right now at 36.8. But I think Nebraska at home is the side to look at here. A little bit better offensively. Michigan State is better defensively, but I think the home court advantage goes to the Huskers. Give me Nebraska, minus the 1.5, 2, depending on where you shop right now. I'm also taking 2.5 with Maryland. Maybe I'm being duped here by this line, but I don't really understand Oregon as the favorite in College Park against the Terps. You know, Dana Altman as a road favorite, just 29-39 against the spread. He is 38-31 to the over in that run, 36-22 to the under, though, when the spread's between +3 to -3. On the other side, Buzz Williams, 38-21 against the spread in his career as a home dog, 33-26 to the over. He's 9-4 to the over this year with Maryland, so maybe the over makes sense as well. But I like Maryland catching 2.5 here. I think they're live to win outright, obviously. It's a short number, but I think they should be favored here. I think the wrong team is favored in this matchup, and I think Maryland and Buzz Williams, they do what he does. He mucks it up. He makes it ugly. They dictate the style of the fight. I like the Terps on Friday catching the points at home. And then a couple of bets on some small schools. We're going to take Sam Houston State +4.5. They have been one of the best teams covering the number this year in college basketball. They're 8-1 against the spread, 4th best in all of college basketball. They're taking on Western Kentucky. The number's 4.5. Give me the 4.5 here. I don't think the market is correctly adjusting for them and how improved they are this year. So I'll take the points with them taking on Western Kentucky. We're also going to go with Santa Clara. We're laying 19.5 with Herb Sendek. Let's go. Sendek 14-9 against the spread as a home favorite of 18.5-24 in his career. And a lot of that was at other schools. But at Santa Clara, I mean, he's got his best team yet. They are 48th in adjusted offensive efficiency. They're 89th in effective field goal percentage. They're 65th in two-point percentage. They force turnovers at 47th in the nation. They're a good, well-rounded team. I like them. I laid 19.5 against Pepperdine. I don't trust Pepperdine. Look at how Pepperdine loses when they play good teams. They don't just lose by a little. They lose by a lot. They lose by like 3, 4, 5 touchdowns sometimes. So I like Santa Clara laying a big number. And then we're going to go under Marist and St. Peter's. I like unders in Marist games. And as long as the books are going to post them in the 130s, I'm probably going to be on the unders until there's an adjustment made where I end up looking dumb. And maybe conference play plays a role in that, but I'm going under here with Marist and St. Peter's under 131.5. John Dunn, the Marist head coach, 49-38 to the under as a favorite, 20-10 to the under versus teams that are winning between 51-60% of their games. On the other side, St. Peter's, Mason, 31-22 to the under as a dog. Give me the under all day long. And let me run through all of the NFL plays that we like this weekend that are up at VSiN.com/picks. Kenneth Gainwell over on receiving yards and receptions at 4.5 and 29.5. We laid 4 with the Eagles against the Commanders. We were on under 37.5 with the Chargers and the Broncos. I took the 13.5 with the Titans at the Jaguars. I just think it's too many points. Mike McCoy's last game. Colts at Texans, we're going under 38.5. Ravens Steelers, under 41.5. Bijan Robinson, over 83.5 rushing yards. Oops, I wrote it in as long. I got to fix that on the website. Against New Orleans, I think he runs wide. Wild. Chris Olatokun, anytime touchdown, a half a unit at plus 330 for Kansas City against the Raiders. Rocket Sanders for Cleveland, anytime touchdown, plus 235. Tommy Tremble, anytime touchdown for Carolina at 5-1. Sean Tucker, anytime touchdown, plus 225. A.J. Barner, anytime touchdown at plus 170. Rico Dowdle, over 2.5 receptions at minus 111. And that is where we stand with all the plays coming up. I will add some more as player props start to populate. That's what I like to bet on the most. There just isn't a lot of available right now. So, hey, thanks for joining us. First day in the new year. Appreciate you making us a part of your day, however you may be tuning in. But you should stay with VSiN all day long because we have a great team that's previewing week 18 in the NFL. Also, breaking down everything in the college football playoff, including Ole Miss knocking off Georgia, Indiana's dominant performance, Oregon advancing. And it all begins at 7 a.m. Eastern with VSiN by the books, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis, followed by Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And then you got the guru, John Hansen, with prop points beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I will see you next time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.